presented by ExxonMobil.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Thursday, March 7th, State of the Union Day, Super Bowl for you nerds. And here's what's driving the day. First, the House passed a six-bill government funding package on Wednesday. That bill will now head to the Senate with barely time to spare before yet another government shutdown deadline. The measure is $459 billion, and they are hoping to lock down an agreement in the upper chamber to speed up votes, and that is going to require the consent of all 100 senators. So we'll have to see how many amendments get voted in exchange, though none of those are expected to actually succeed. Also, it is now a two-man race toward the general election. Both Nikki Haley and Dean Phillips dropped out of the race. So now it is Joe Biden and Donald Trump, unless something really, really, really weird and unforeseen happens before November. And like I teased, it is the State of the Union Day. President Joe Biden will take the stage at 9 p.m., in front of Congress to give his State of the Union. Every year they say it's strong or some kind of word like that. Do you know Gerry Ford was the only president to say it was not good, which is always my favorite piece of trivia. And to talk through all of that is White House reporter Adam Kankren, friend of the pod. Adam, thank you for joining.
It's great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
So, you know, tonight President Biden is going to do something presidents do every year and have done every year for a very long time. But you've written, I've written, everyone knows, his is a little bit different. So, but first, I want to start with kind of the policy. The State of the Union is a chance for an administration to say, these are the things we want to get done. These are the new things that we want to get done. Are we expecting anything new from President Biden in this speech tonight?
I mean, one of the kind of really interesting parts about this is, you know, a year for State of the Union. So you not only have to talk about the things that you've already done, but then you also have to give a bit of a vision for what you want to do in your second term.
But you can't talk about it as a second term because then that's politics.
You have to talk about it aspirationally. Right, you know, right. This is where we're headed. Keep me in charge. This is the kind of benefits that you get. Would be a shame if something happened to this great trajectory we're on. But it is going to be, and it's going to be interesting to see, there's going to be a kind of new vision. How much of the policy, though, is actually brand new? Not a ton, mainly because Joe Biden has talked about what he's wanted to do for the past year. We're going to hear, I expect, a lot about taxes left over from the failed Build Back Better. So a lot on raising taxes on the wealthy, making large corporations pay their fair share, as Biden puts it. And so that's raising a lot of tax rates, creating a lot of revenue, using that to fund other social programs or to shore up Medicare and Social Security. That's a big part of his kind of fairness agenda, his effort to really solidify the working class. The second thing I think we're going to hear about is on the healthcare end, obviously they have done a lot already there. And basically what Biden is going to say is, I want to expand these benefits further. So the White House was able to cap prescription drug costs for insulin at $35 for seniors. Now Biden in a second term wants to do that for everybody. Same thing for, you know, negotiating the price of some drugs, wants to expand the number of that. So we're going to hear a lot of not so much new, but bigger, better. How can we expand on the things that have already been accomplished in the first 3-4 years?
But then there's the theatrics, right? There's the him walking down the aisle, shaking hands with people who just called him an asshole weeks ago, you know, on Fox News. There's the standing up and sitting down thing, the non-clapping, the clapping. But it's an election year. He has the most eyes he's probably going to get all year at one given time for this long period of time. On top of that, there are the concerns about his age and mental acuity. And so this is a chance for him to perform in a way that kind of puts some of those concerns, at least with maybe Democratic operatives, if not the American people and American voters, put some of those concerns to rest. Do you think they get that?
They do, even if they may not want to admit it, because any White House official, almost any Democrat, really does not want to talk about the age aspect. They don't want to talk about the polling that shows that a lot of voters are really concerned about Biden's age and ability to do the job into a second term. But their heads aren't in the sand. They're well aware of this. And that's why, you know, you're not going to see Biden run down the aisle and do a bunch of push-ups before he gives him the speech. But you're going to see a lot of emphasis on, you know, showing that he has energy, showing that he has vigor. And that's through a couple things. One, you know, in the actual speech, I expect him to stress that, you know, he's extremely experienced. Maybe he'll make a couple jokes about his age, but to try to turn that into a positive by saying, look, all of these things, all of these accomplishments that we've seen over the past few years couldn't have been done by somebody less experienced. And then I think secondly, yeah, I mean, you're going to see Biden really try to take care advantage of any opportunity to show that he's sharp, to show that he's got that kind of nimble mental acuity. And Republicans, frankly, are probably going to give him the opportunity. They're probably going to engage him at some point, like we saw last year. And Biden will have the opportunity to really take that and the opportunity to turn that into a positive. Now, that is where people get a little bit nervous because it could go drastically wrong. But we saw Biden do it last year. You can bet that most Democrats are hoping to get the same kind of opportunity again this year.
Yeah, honestly, they'll probably take anything they can get at this point. And Adam, before I let you go, the guest list for the State of the Union is something that everyone is trying to find out during the week who's going where. You have members of Congress that will bring someone and invite someone, and they'll be in the gallery. The White House had invited the First Lady of Ukraine and the wife of Navalny. They both said no. But we do have a sense of who's going to be in the box with the First Lady and the Second Gentleman. And one, who are we looking at? And what does it tell you about kind of the administration, what they're trying to signal to everyone else by inviting these people here?
Yeah, I mean, so we're seeing kind of a range of people who have been invited here. Maybe the boldest face name is Sean Fain. He's the president of the UAW. If you remember, they had the 6-week strike last year. Biden went to Michigan to walk the picket line with them. Huge moment. They eventually ended up endorsing Biden, said, you know, they're going to make it their sole mission to get him reelected. So that is probably the most well-known name. You also have Kate Cox, who, if you remember, kind of rose to prominence after she had real difficulty getting an abortion in Texas and had to travel out of state, became a real rallying cry for Democrats around reproductive rights, going to be a big theme that we can expect here at State of the Union. And if you can just go down a list, there's people who are anti-gun violence advocates. There's someone who's going to be in the box whose student loans were forgiven, a huge kind of effort to reach out to young people that the administration is making. So all that is to say is that this is part of the pageantry, you know, these guest invites, but there's also a point to it.
Adam, we have a very, very long day ahead of us. The speech is at 9. We'll be in the office as a team working it out. Adam, take care. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Rest up.
And for your schedule today, the Senate and the House are in. And this evening, well, you know what the president's going to be doing. I just told you. The man's going to be at 9 o'clock in front of the cameras telling you what the State of the Union is. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
The world needs ways to reduce carbon emissions. We're working on solutions in our own operations, like carbon capture and clean energy from hydrogen. So who are we? Believe it or not, ExxonMobil, and our solutions could help industries like manufacturing, commercial transportation, and power generation too. Heavy industry with low emissions. Let's deliver. Learn more at ExxonMobil.com.